Jacksonville. Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning, Ben.
What are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, last week we went through the basics of tax basis.
Right.
And, you know, we talked about how basis is how an individual bases their gain or loss when they sell or exchange a particular item.
Right.
So, you know, the bottom line is we look at basis as kind of your carrying cost or your carrying value. And then when you have a realization event, you have to recognize – your gain or loss based upon your tax basis. So it's basically what you pay for an item. You know, the classic example we gave last week was you buy stock for $1, you sell it for $100, you now have $99 of tax gain that you will pay taxes on. And the concept of a, like a real property, we have, you know, what you paid for the item and then plus any improvements that are made. And then kind of minus any depreciation. And that's how you base your tax basis, when you have a piece of property where you're going to make improvements or maybe have some chances to take some deductions over the years. And then we went into gifts and we talked about how, you know, gifts have what we call carryover basis. And it's just an example where you step into my shoes if I gift you something and you get what my basis is in the property. So in the example of the $1 stock, if I turn around and give it to you, Ben, you get my $1 basis. You turn around and sell it the next day and it's worth $100. You now have the $99 gain.
Right. And you got to pay taxes on that. This is all about taxes.
That's exactly right. Then you pay taxes on that. And then the one exception we said last week was is that you cannot gift a loss. So we mentioned that if, you know, the stock's worth $100 and it, or I bought the stock for $100, it's now worth $1. And there's a $99 built-in loss in there and I go ahead and give that to you, Ben. Your basis is actually $1. And then when you turn around and sell it the next day for $1, you have no gain or loss on that particular item. So it's better to sell that particular item, take the loss and then give the money is basically one way that we can utilize that loss without losing it. The final thing we talked about basis was inheritance. We talked about how you get step up in tax basis, meaning that upon someone's death, you take the fair market value of the particular asset as your basis. So in our classic example, the $1, $100, you would take the $100 fair market value of that stock. You turn around and sell it the next day. You have no gain or loss on that particular item. So it's a good way right now. We talk about estates being a good way to transfer property. Keeping property in your estate and passing it via your will is advisable given the income tax environment and the estate tax environment that we currently are in.
Yeah, one of the public interest thinking behind that as well is that the person who's getting this property did not make any attempt to obtain this property.
Yes.
They didn't do anything to obtain it.
That's right.
So it was passed through inheritance. So it is not like they have done something of which now they have to pay taxes on its gains.
So. Exactly. So why is this important? And the answer is that I've got a case for us today, which is why I went through those rules very quickly. You know, certainly if you have any questions, afoster@harbellandcollins.com, or give us a call at the law firm.
Okay.
But Mr. Fiscalini in this example, and his parents actually bought a house together out in Hollister, California. And, he put in $200,000, they put in $50,000, and they were tenants and common owners of this property.
Okay.
And they're owning it, not a problem. And then about, you know, a few years later, parents say, hey, listen, son, you've been doing really well. I'm going to go ahead and gift you my interest in the property. So they go ahead and gift their $50,000 interest in the property over to son. And so now, you know, pursuant to the rules, carryover basis, he's got $250,000 basis in the property. Then he goes and he's actually in the construction business, Ben, and he puts in pools and pool decks and various outbuildings. And so he says, oh man, I'm going to make this, you know, now I've got this property free and clear. I'm going to go ahead and make, you know, make this thing nice. So he brings his equipment over and he digs out a pool and he puts in an outbuilding. And he, you know, the estimated cost of that was about $50,000. So he made improvements to the property.
That adds to the basis.
Exactly right. Yeah. So what would that do as basis? 50,000 more in basis. Mm-hmm. So he'd be up to 300,000 in basis under the rules that we've kind of gone over.
Right.
And then he goes through a little bit of a downturn. He's in the construction business. So 2007, 2008, market kind of drops down, and he's using this property to obtain loans, in order to probably pay off other debts, would be my guess.
Right.
And so he refinances, mortgages this property all the way up to $500,000.
Mm.
So he gets to the point where he owes $500,000 on the property. And he goes to his parents and say, "Hey, listen, you know, business just hasn't been that great. I need you guys to come in and pay off these loans, and I'll just deed the house over to you guys."
And well, this is getting complicated here.
Oh yeah. So he says, okay, so the parents pay off the loans.
Wow.
Pay off the loans, and he deeds the property over to them. Mm-hmm. Now they have the property. And so they paid off $500,000. So he gets a 1099 because this is a real transaction, Ben.
Right.
They paid $500,000 for the property.
Yeah.
There was a closing that was done on the property. He gets a 1099-S for $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
He decides, I don't think I'm going to include this on my tax return this particular year.
Mr. Fiscalini in a fiscal mess.
So Mr. Fiscalini decides, you know, even though we know, and our listeners are very well informed, that when he gets a 1099, who else gets a 1099?
Yeah.
The service, the IRS gets a 1099. So they later file for him, and they say, "Hey, listen, we got this 1099-S, and it says that that you sold this property for $500,000. You know, we're attributing that all to income."
Right.
So, you know, forget tax basis at this point in time. You have $500,000 of income. And Mr. Fiscalini comes back and says, whoa, wait a second here. I have tax basis in this particular property. I've paid certain funds on this particular property. And my parents have gifted me portions of this property. So, you know, I really only owe the difference between $500 and $300 for $200,000 of tax. I don't owe $500,000 in income tax
tax on
$500,000. I don't own that. And the tax court ultimately takes this on because guess what? He goes through the audit. He goes through appeals. He goes through everything, and he just can't get this matter settled. So it ultimately goes to tax court.
Yeah.
And the judge in the tax court looks at all these issues, and just as we've gone through them, they say, "Mr. Fiscalini, it's obvious that you put in $200,000. So right. You get $200,000 of basis off the top."
Right.
And actually the IRS agrees with that.
Okay. And what about the 50?
The gifting, the carryover basis from the parents.
Mm-hmm.
The IRS did not agree with that. Mm-hmm. They argued some obscure rule that says tenants in common property, you take your particular basis. But there was actually a gift that was done, Ben. There was a deed that was done. It was a quick claim deed. It showed zero tax stamps. It showed that no consideration was given for the property.
Mm-hmm.
And the tax court agrees and says, listen, $50,000 of tax basis is carryover tax basis.
Right.
That's part of the basis rules. So he's up to $250,000 of basis at this particular time. Now we get to the $50,000 of improvements.
Improvements, yeah.
Yeah. And guess what? Mr. Fiscalini could not substantiate the documentation necessary to give him the $50,000 in improvements.
See, I thought the hang-up was going to be on the gift.
Yeah. See, I know. I can understand that.
Yeah.
The hang-up was on the gift in the sense that the service would not agree.
Right.
The judge, though, said, nope, gift, carryover basis. You know, as long as you can prove that it was a gift and you can show the documentation, good. His big issue was the improvements. And I think this is a very, very good lesson for our listeners out there, because think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You make improvements to your property. Do you keep the receipts? Do you keep the evidence necessary in order to substantiate basis? We deal with it a lot, Ben, in estates, or not really estates, but that situation we talk about where an individual wants to gift their interest, you know, because I really want my son or daughter to have this property, you know, before I die, and I want to go ahead and deed that property over.
Right.
Well, the question is what's your tax basis? And a lot of times, number one, they may know how much they paid for it.
Right.
But they sure as heck don't know what they've done over the property for 20, 30, 40 years to add improvements to it that would maybe increase that basis up a little bit. So this is how it really comes home to roost, which is you got to be able to substantiate
your claim.
Exactly right. And here he is. Now, I think Mr. Fiscalini probably had some more issues than just what we're talking about today, because if he can't substantiate, you know, the fact that he put this pool deck in from his company.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably got some other issues that are out there lingering with some business taxes as well. But it's very important, you know, and our listeners need to hear this, you know, the concept of tax basis might be fairly straightforward. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the idea that you need to make sure that you're keeping track of this in order to base your gains or losses is very important, especially given given an asset where it's not going to be tracked for you, such as a stock or a bond or something of that nature.
Let's go back to his other issues for a second, because it brings up something that he owned a construction company, so he had his guys out there building the pool.
Yes.
Right. So he didn't have a contract with his own construction company for that pool.
That's exactly.
So he didn't have any.
Yeah.
And those guys were probably working, who knows, they may have been on somebody else's
it's possible
thing. So that's what they're going to be looking at. But if you make improvements to your home,
mm-hmm.
if you've done all the work yourself, mm-hmm. you can't count that, can you?
Whatever you've paid out would be an increase in the basis on that particular.
You can't count your labor on that.
No. That's a good point, Ben, that you make there. Still, he said that he put $50,000 into it. Right. I mean, and I don't know where that number came from. It doesn't really, the case didn't really delineate. But I think it's a very important concept here where, mm-hmm. you know, obviously that $50,000 mattered immensely, because that would have knocked down his taxable mm-hmm. income by $50,000 if he were able to substantiate, you know, the claim. And also, big point here, Ben, if he'd have gone ahead and filed this thing to begin with,
right.
he may not have ended up with this mess to begin with.
That's right. Right. So lots of red flags there from Mr. Fiscalini. And if you want to find out more or you have questions, you can email Andrew A. Foster at HarvellandCollins.com or call for an appointment at 726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City for HarvellandCollins.com.